My Bible's open to Acts chapter 8. I would encourage you to get your Bible out and turn to Acts chapter 8. That's where we'll be reading from in just a moment. Acts chapter 8. It's good to see so many with us today. We have several guests with us that have come to visit with us, and we're glad that you're with us. Several that have been away, traveling for various reasons. We're certainly glad that you made your way back to be with us. It's great that the people of God come together on the first day of the week to worship God and to glorify Him. Our theme this year is a congregation for salvation, and we've been discussing all year long about how we can live wise lives, how we can be wise in the decisions that we make, and how wisdom applies in every aspect of our lives, how wisdom applies in our life as a disciple of Christ. In this month, our focus is wisdom in evangelism. And when I think about wisdom in evangelism, I think about what Colossians chapter 1 at verse 23 says, that the gospel had been preached in all the world, that it had been preached to every creature under heaven. And I think about how that was accomplished. That was accomplished without Facebook. That was accomplished without Twitter, without websites, without radio, without TV. They accomplished that simply through the teaching of the gospel. And when you go through the book of Acts, you can see that each member was actively involved in the preaching of the gospel. In Acts chapter 8, if you'll notice what is said in verse 4, it says, "Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word." The first century Christians were evangelistic people. They had a passion for the lost as they were disciples of Christ, taking on the characteristic of the compassion that Jesus had for the lost. That is the same characteristic that we must have in our lives as disciples, that we must have a compassion for those who are lost. Paul would say, "My heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they may be saved." And that should be our prayer, that our heart's desire, that our neighbor, our family member, our co-worker, our classmates, those in our lives would be saved. And the early church was involved in evangelism. They trained for evangelism in the local church. Paul took with him men like Timothy and Titus and Silas and Luke. And Mark was involved in that. And young people were trained and they were taught on how to preach the gospel. And then when you think about the early church, they taught in every situation and in every place. The gospel was proclaimed in courtrooms and marketplaces, in jail cells, in Roman prisons. Teaching was conducted in schools, on the riverbanks, at work, in homes like Mary's. And if we're not careful, too often today, we may just think that the only place that we can evangelize is just within the walls of our church building. Now, worship is a powerful evangelistic tool. But we as Christians must be wise in evangelism and understand that we have to go outside of the walls of this auditorium and we have to tell others about Christ. We have to be careful that we do not have the attitude that as long as we are okay, everything's all right. Reminds me about a young man that went to a movie theater, and he had filled out an application to be an usher. And in the interview process, the manager of the theater asked this young man, "What are you going to do if a fire should break out in the theater?" And the young man simply responded by saying, "Oh, don't worry about me, I'll be just fine." But he didn't get the job, I don't think. But what about us as Christians? If we talk about the judgment day and the fact that the Lord is returning, how do we respond to that? Do we respond by just simply saying, "Oh, I'm saved, I'm a Christian, I'm ready for that day"? Or should we be like that usher in a movie theater, getting people out of the burning building? We should have the attitude that, yes, the Lord is coming. And so I want to tell anyone and everyone that will listen to the gospel about Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk about a man who shared the gospel with a man on a road this morning. And this man that heard the gospel and responded to the gospel was on the road to Ethiopia, but he was actually on the road to salvation. In Acts chapter 8, at verse 25, it says, "Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans. The they in that verse means Peter and John. The apostles had come up, remember, because of the success that Philip was having, the evangelism that was taking place in Samaria. And when you read through Acts chapter 8, Philip was a powerful evangelist. He was turning Samaria upside down, and many people were being converted to Christ. He was having great success in that city. But notice in verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot.' And so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, 'Do you understand what you are reading?' In verse 31, he said, 'How can I unless someone guides me?' And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: 'Like a sheep he was led to a slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth.' And the eunuch said to Philip, 'About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?' Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he replied, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." This is such an important text because it shows how a person is converted to Christ. And it does show, and we could preach an entire lesson on the aspects of baptism that is taught here and how baptism is essential for us to be saved and have a relationship with God. That is necessary. And notice how they go down into the water. They came up out of the water. And that tells you something about the mode of baptism. And it reveals to us, as this man was going to Jerusalem or coming back from Jerusalem to worship, that sincerity alone in religion is not enough. And there's several lessons that we could take from that, but that's not really what I want to deal with today. I want us to focus on how we can help people on the road of salvation. And I really want to show four things from this passage that is necessary for someone who is on the road to salvation. Four things I think you must have that we see from this text. First of all, you must have a speaker. There must be a speaker. And I want to emphasize this, that there must be a speaker. And notice in this story, God didn't start with the sinner. He started with the preacher. Now, remember Philip. He's been evangelizing in Samaria. Many converts are obeying the gospel. There's great success there. The fields are white to harvest. He has much more to do in that city. But yet, all of a sudden, a word comes from God that he needs to leave Samaria and he needs to go out into the desert. To me, that seems odd. As an evangelist, that would be a hard thing to do. To leave the crowds, to leave the masses that are responding to the gospel and to go out into a desert place. But Philip knows exactly what to do. He goes out and he does exactly what God tells him to do. He doesn't argue. He takes off on this long hike down this road. And it's interesting to me that God didn't tell him what to do. God just simply told him where to go. And that's an important point for us to make this morning. That as a Christian, as a disciple, we know where we need to go, and we should know what we need to do.
I don't find anywhere in this passage that God tells Philip that, listen, as you go out to this desert place, oh, by the way, you need to share the gospel with anyone that you come into contact with. No, when they found someone, when this evangelist Philip and when these first century Christians found someone, they were going to tell that person about Christ. Just notice in Acts chapter 8, notice in verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. What did he do? He proclaimed to them the Christ. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. God didn't tell him what to do. He just simply had to tell him where to go. And it reminds me of what's said in Mark chapter 5 that Jesus told the man that was possessed by a demon. Remember, he told him, go and tell others what great things the Lord has done for you. Just go tell others what God has done for you. And so Philip goes out into this desert road. And without in any way de-emphasizing what we're going to talk about in a moment, de-emphasizing the Word of God, we need to understand the importance of teachers. That there must be a speaker, that at some point as we live our Christian lives, and as Paul says in Philippians 1 and verse 27, to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel, as we should do that, and as we should be great examples, and we should let our light shine to give glory to God, there comes a point in time when we have to open up our mouth and tell others about Jesus. You've heard me say before, faith comes by hearing, not by watching. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And I want you to notice something important here in this text that I want to point out. There was a miracle involved in this conversion. But notice how the miracle really took place. The purpose of the miracle was performed on behalf of the speaker or of the preacher and not the lost soul. Not the unbeliever. I mean, think about the divine appearance of this angel that comes to Philip to tell him to go to the south, down the road to Gaza, to the eunuch. So this miracle was performed upon the preacher, not the sinner. And what that reveals to us is that God did not just directly operate on that sinner's heart without the preaching of the gospel. That a preacher, a speaker, someone telling the good news was necessary for this man to find salvation. Reminds me of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. It pleased God through the foolishness of the preaching to save those that believe. So the miracle was to bring the preacher to the sinner. In order that through the preaching of the gospel, the eunuch might believe and obey and be saved. Now, the eunuch had scripture, but he didn't understand it. And really what this tells us is a couple of things. Yes, you need a speaker. You need a teacher. But it also tells us, I think, the value of one single soul in the eyes of God. That this soul, this Ethiopian eunuch, was important enough to God to have Philip leave Samaria and go down that road to find just that one person. Just that one person. See, to be an evangelist, to share the gospel, it doesn't have to take place in the masses. It can simply take place one-on-one with individuals. But it takes opening up your mouth and speaking to others. But second of all, the road to salvation must have a seeker or a searcher. Because you think about the Ethiopian eunuch, I think his example is, it's a great example. He was seeking. He was searching for something. And I know that because he would not have been going to Jerusalem to begin with if he wasn't. I mean, this was not an easy trip for him to make to go to Jerusalem. And so, what's he doing interested in Judaism? Why is this Ethiopian man interested in Judaism? It's evident that he was looking for some sort of truth. I mean, in that world, in the world, there were loose morals and there were many gods and many people could see the ridiculousness of idolatry. And Judaism had high standards and they had one God. And that's something that he was looking for. It was a God that couldn't be made with hands. And so he's traveling hundreds of miles and he's looking for something. And that impresses me about this eunuch, that he's an important man. And that impresses me because I tell you, it's hard for a big shot to admit that they don't have all the answers. And this eunuch was a big shot. He had an important role that he played in his life. But he had to admit that he didn't have all the answers. And so he's looking for something. And Philip, this evangelist, he sizes this up so quickly, this situation. Here's a man who's traveled this great distance to Jerusalem. He's traveling back from Jerusalem. And he has a copy of the scripture. And he's reading from Isaiah. That's why I said, this guy's looking for something. He's in the scripture. Now, what do you do? What do you do as a speaker when you find a seeker? What do you do? Well, Philip shows us a great example of this. Philip starts exactly where the seeker is. That's what Philip did. Philip goes to the chariot and says, "Do you understand what you are reading?" What a great question. Do you understand what you're reading? He started right where the eunuch was. He didn't say, "What are you doing in Isaiah? That's too deep for you. That's not where you need to go." He didn't say, "Oh, you can't understand that." He simply started right where the eunuch was looking. He really recognized the validity of the search that this man was on, and he began to study. And so on the road to salvation, as the speaker, it's important for you to find out where that person is. Find out where that person's motivation for seeking is and start there. Begin there and then share Jesus. Because next I want you to see the road to salvation must have the scripture. Must have the scripture. Now, the eunuch traveled to Jerusalem and it's evident that he did not get the answers that he was looking for in Jerusalem. He's left Jerusalem and he's still looking for something. See, the Jews, they didn't know what to do with Isaiah chapter 53. The passage about the suffering servant, the one who was to be led like a lamb to the slaughter, who wasn't going to open his mouth, the one by whose wounds we are healed, the one who had the iniquity of us all laid on him. He's looking for the answer to this. Who is this? Well, it couldn't have been the prophets. And the Jews said, well, it couldn't have been the Messiah because we know that the Messiah isn't going to suffer. He's going to be a conquering king. But you see, in Jerusalem, the eunuch didn't get the entire story. And so he's still searching for answers. He only heard part of the story. And so now what Philip does is he opens up the scripture and he begins to tell him the good news about Jesus. I wonder what the eunuch thought when Philip started talking about Jesus. Maybe the eunuch had heard about this Jesus while he was in Jerusalem. Maybe he remembered that name and about this one that had been crucified and this one that was trying to start a movement. And now this one that there is a movement where they're turning the world upside down. And yes, I've heard about this Jesus. And I just imagine in my mind the eunuch sitting up a little bit straighter and really listening to what Philip has to say. And he opens up the scripture and I just imagine in Isaiah 53 verse 1, "O Lord, who has believed our report?" In other words, the thing that the prophet is about to say was against the popular concept of the Messiah. He doesn't expect to be believed, but yet he goes on to say he's as a root in a thirsty land. He's a root out of Jesse. He's going to be a descendant of King David. And so he starts going through maybe the lineage of Jesus, and then he starts talking about the events and the miraculous events surrounding the birth of Jesus. And about how it was told what his purpose was going to be to his mother when he was given his name. He's going to save his people from their sins. And then he continues reading in Isaiah and he speaks about he has no form or comeliness and no form of beauty. In other words, there was nothing about this Jesus that would stand out to him, to others, and make him appear to be this great conquering king. In fact, the Messiah came and he emptied himself. Took the form of a servant. And Philip is mentioning all of this to this man. He was a man of suffering, acquainted with grief. And no doubt Philip begins to tell this eunuch that Jesus is the Christ, as Peter would profess in Matthew chapter 16, that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so the implication is clear for us to see here. For someone to find salvation, the scriptures have to be open and Jesus has to be taught. The scriptures will, in fact, reveal Jesus to all of us. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But it is they that bear witness about me, Jesus would say in John chapter 5. That the scriptures bear witness about Jesus. And so that tells us something. If we're going to be wise in evangelism, we have to know the scriptures. Just as an artist knows how to use her paint and her brushes and her pens, or as a chef knows how to use their knives in the kitchen, just as a soldier knows how to use his weapon, as Christians, we have to know how to use our weapon. We have to know how to use the sword of the Spirit. Because there must be a speaker, there must be a seeker, there must be scripture, and then finally, there must be the Savior. There must be the Savior. We'll zone in on verse 35 where Philip told him the good news about Jesus. Or your version may say he preached Jesus to him. Do you know that if you are not preaching Jesus, you are not preaching the good news? Jesus is the good news. Listen, the gospel is not baptism. Baptism is a response to the gospel. The gospel is not about why we should partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday. The gospel is not about the errors of denominationalism. There's a time and a place for us to discuss those things and to go to the scriptures and see what God has to say about that. Yes. But we have to preach Jesus. Because if you start with the scripture and you tell someone the good news about Jesus Christ, and when they come to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, that person will not have a hard time going into the waters of baptism because they're going to do what their Lord and Savior has said to do. When a person accepts and believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He is Lord, you're not going to have to convince that person how important it is to worship with the saints every first day of the week. That person will want to please his Lord and Savior. It's interesting to me that the eunuch preaches Jesus. And obviously that includes baptism. The eunuch is the one who brings this up. He preaches Jesus. The eunuch brings it up. And the eunuch doesn't question and say, well, are you sure baptism is essential? The eunuch doesn't say, well, why do I have to get out and get wet? Why can't we just take this canteen and just pour it over my head? He didn't say any of those things. He didn't question that. What he did question is, am I a suitable candidate for salvation? And when the answer was yes, I'm going to do whatever it is that the Lord has told me to do because I want salvation. What a heart. I think we need to remember something. And it's the words of the song that Gavin led us in a moment ago. That Jesus saves. Jesus saves. The gospel is Jesus, and there must be a Savior. And listen, when there is a speaker, when there is a seeker, and the scripture is taught, and the Savior is revealed, when you add that to the providence of God that's found in this text, there is going to be salvation. It's going to be salvation. And notice what takes place after salvation in verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Why did he go on his way rejoicing? Well, he was rejoicing because he had been made whole. He's rejoicing because he'd found salvation. He'd found the forgiveness of his sins. He was rejoicing because now he had the message to share to those around him. And for the rest of his life, he would never forget the day that he learned of the Lord through the preaching of a man named Philip. He would never cease to thank God. What a story. Let me just close with just two applications from this text. First of all, let's focus on the gospel. Let's focus on the gospel. As I said, let's remember that Jesus is the good news. That there is an answer, that for those that are seeking, those that are searching, those that you run into that are hurting, maybe they're going through some trial in life, they've experienced some terrible tragedy, and they're asking questions. Let me tell you, the answer is Jesus. That will never change. It was the same way in the early church in Acts chapter 8, and it's the same way in 2018. Jesus is the answer. And we have to be ready and willing to share Jesus. You know, you talk about what it is that you're passionate about. You talk about what it is that excites you. Does Jesus excite you? Does the difference that he's made in your life excite you to where you want to tell others about the Savior? Let's focus on the gospel. But then finally, I want us to think about this as we close. In light of being wise in evangelism this month, let's focus on opportunities. It's amazing to me that when you step back and you think about this story, just think about the involvement of God in this story. It really says something about the involvement in our task of God of sharing the gospel. It's good for us to be reminded. It's good for us to be reminded that those that we come into contact with, they're not accidents. The people that we live around, the people that we work with, what if those just aren't coincidences in our life? You see, this story shows us God's involvement in evangelism. You think about it. Philip is walking and here comes a chariot. Is that a coincidence? He walks up and that man just happens to be reading from Isaiah 53. Is that a coincidence? Philip preaches the gospel to this man and they just happen to come upon a body of water. Is that a coincidence? I want you to see that God is putting it all together so that this man could be saved if his heart was right. God was not just hoping that he would be saved. God was doing something about it. Now, God's not going to force anybody to become a Christian. But God is going to give every true searcher that is looking for salvation, I believe he's going to give them the opportunity to hear the gospel. I believe that. I believe that everyone who is searching has an opportunity to be around someone. Now the question is, do we have the courage to teach the truth? Let's re-examine the people in our lives. Because it could be the people that you rub elbows with every day, the people that you're closest with every day, it could be that they're your Ethiopian eunuch. I mean, is it a coincidence that you just happen to the house that you live in, your house just happens to go up for sale, and then there's another family that comes in and moves in right next door to you? Is that a coincidence? Or could it be that they're searching and that you've got to speak? Or could it be that the person that maybe you've been buying stamps from at the post office for the last 25 years, that maybe you just run in and you don't give much thought to that? Could it be that they're seeking and that you could speak up? Is it an accident that your child becomes friends with someone in school, maybe whose parents are struggling? Is that an accident? Or could that be the power or the providence of God being displayed in our lives? And we need to open up our eyes for opportunities. Open up our eyes for opportunities. Let's be wise in evangelism. But as I wrap up, I want to ask the question. I think each one of us here should compare our salvation or our conversion with this model. I mean, did we hear the story of Jesus and were we moved by it? Did we believe in Jesus with all of our hearts and confess our faith in Jesus Christ as the eunuch did? Were we immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins? Did we rise in newness of life, going about living in joy? And if our conversion experience doesn't match up with this story and with the other conversion stories in the New Testament, we need to examine ourselves and consider whether or not we need to obey the gospel the way that our Lord has outlined in the Scriptures. Because it's only in Christ where we have every spiritual blessing. What a joy it is to be a Christian. What a joy it is to share the story of Christ with others. So maybe you need to respond to the gospel. Maybe you need to respond as the eunuch did this morning. The water is ready. You could have your sins washed away and you can leave this building joyful that you found the Lord. If we can help you do that, come on up to the front right now while we